This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Nate Gatter is in for Amy Mark's course today. I'm Chris Ranji. Time to go to the guest line. And as I've said already before, before we got to this point, this is the first time in history that the SIUE Cougars are going to the NCAA tournament. So it is a very big day and a big week for the Cougars. And we are very happy to be joined by their head coach, Brian Baroni, who is with us on KMOX. Brian, good to talk to you, first of all, and congratulations, secondly.
Well, I'm happy to be on talking with you, and I appreciate you congratulating me. It's been a fun few days.
What's it been like on campus since?
Well, we got back on campus and it's spring break over here. So it's, here's what I like to think. I just think they all just are really excited and they're celebrating our wins throughout the country right now.
Yeah, I suppose, Brian, the way to look at it is that they're all back home spreading the good word to their high school friends and their hometown friends.
That's what they just said. You know what? Let's go spread the word. Then next week we'll get back together when the tournament starts. But we're all going to go out there and be prophets right now.
So obviously, for people who don't know your program as well, in nearly two decades in Division One, there hadn't been a winning season, let alone an NCAA tournament berth, until the last couple of years. And you have kind of engineered this turnaround from taking over in 2019. And you had been on campus before that as an assistant going back to 2017. So you've seen maybe not the very beginnings of the Division One era, but you've seen certainly what it looked like before these last few years when the wins started coming in. When you reflect on now almost a decade in Edwardsville and what it's taken to get the program from where it was in 17 or even going back to transitioning to Division One to where it is now, champions of the OVC and going to the big dance, what do you think about the most?
I just think about the hard work. The people that have been by my side, and then the people that have jumped on board too, that allowed themselves to kind of be educated in how this process needs to work to take the next step. I made a lot of mistakes through the process over these years, and it's trial by error at times, and people stuck with us and we stuck with one another, and it's been that's probably the biggest thing is the hard work and the people that have been with you from day one.
So when you reach this particular goal, certainly when you come in as a head coach, you have goals in mind down the road. Is the NCAA tournament, is that at the very top of it for this Cougars program that is still really new in Division One?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Your goal is to sit, you want to win a championship. And, at our level, yeah, I mean, you win the league title or you win a tournament title. And then the goal kind of for everybody is the NCAA tournament, March Madness. People want to be part of it. They want to see their school, their city represented. So within the championship run, you give yourself an opportunity to play in March Madness. And we were able to do it this year. And 100%, that was something that we talked about from the first day that I got the job. It's like, you know, if you're going to try doing something, why not try being the best at what you can do?
You've been around, you know, so many great coaches in your career as a player, in your career as an assistant. And that goes all the way back, obviously, to when you were growing up and your dad, Tony, who was, for listeners who don't know, head coach at Creighton and Texas A&M, and at one point the Memphis Grizzlies in the NBA as well. I know that he didn't get to see the game this week and to be part of the celebration. But had he been able to see this and if he had been able to talk to you and maybe to the players, what do you think he'd be saying in the last 48 hours?
You know, I think he would have talked about how proud he was, what he saw in terms of the team chemistry and togetherness. And that would have lasted about a minute 30 maybe. And then he would have started talking about a couple plays that we should have had better high hands. We didn't take care of the ball. You know, execution of out of timeouts and my utilization of timeouts. So he would have been honest right away. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I felt him there and my mom. You know, I lost her as well a couple of years ago. A lot of things have happened in these last 6 years that are pretty special. But I've also been pretty traumatic as well with those two not being by my side.
Brian Baroni, head coach of the SIU Edwardsville Cougars team, which is going to the NCAA tournament, is with us on KMOX. And right after the game, the first thing you did was heap praise on your players for what they had mm-hmm. done in getting you to the NCAA tournament. One of them will be on our station later on Sports Open Line, Rayshon Taylor. So of the guys on your team, I know you don't probably like to single out any individuals, but are there players that you feel like really need to be pointed out that didn't get highlighted throughout the year?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, Ray is a special player with his notably player of the year. But like a guy like Desmond Polk, and he's been with me for 5 years as well. And he has grown into a team captain. You know, he came up to me. I actually almost got a technical at the end of the game because he grabs me and hugs me about 5-6 feet into the court, yelling, you know, I promised you a championship. I told you I was going to get you a championship. And so he's a guy that, you know, his loyalty, his dedication, his time here, his development. He's not a stat guy, but he's an important part of our team. He's another one that stands out. And Brian Taylor did a heck of a job really developing and being, you know, he's an all-league guy this year. He took on a role of scoring and handling the ball. And then you had two guys, you know, I could go through them all, but two guys that really impacted that last game, and Declan Dillon and Jordan Pickett. I had Dez and Ray out for 4 or 5 straight minutes when we went on a big run, and those two kind of spearheaded it.
Coach, just to tie the bow on what we were talking about earlier, and I kind of made passing reference to some of the great coaches that you've been around, you know, mm-hmm. and that started with playing for your dad, but then finishing your career for Tom Crean, who a lot of people know from his time at Marquette with you, but also then when he went on to Indiana and to Georgia. And I've gotten a chance to be around him a little bit doing games for Westwood One, the national radio broadcast. We actually did the CAA championship game together last year, and I know he was on the OVC championship call for Westwood One on national radio the other night, and so he got to be there with you and your family. And obviously, you know, he's got a job to do, so he's not necessarily celebrating the title in real time because he's got to be kind of the independent objective announcer and all that. But he was able to, you know, be there with you and celebrate with you afterward. And I saw his tweet expressing how proud and happy he was for you and your family. What did it mean to have him there?
You know, there was a moment, about a minute 30, 2 minutes in the game, he was seated right across doing the game. And I'm still his player. I coached under him. I was, you know, video coordinator, ops, assistant coach at times. But, you know, you still have that sense. I'm 47 years old. He walks into the room and that's my coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, about a minute 30, 2 minutes left when it was kind of like we knew it. I saw him, you know, doing his job over there, and it was surreal because it's, you know, it's really come full circle. I mean, how cool is that? Your college basketball coach is calling your game to win a championship, to go to the NCAA. Like, that's just like that's kind of like, how do you set that up? It just so happened, right? You don't know we're going to be in the championship when he got the call to be like, yeah, hey, you're going to Evansville in a few weeks or whatever the case was. And it was special. I mean, that's like, you know, out of a, you know, a story or a movie or something like that, on top of a lot of the other things that took place. But he's been by my side and really helped me progress in this business and stay in this business.
I mentioned that post game, and you have a pair of scissors that you had framed, and that you, with the intention of cutting down the nets. Tell that story and how you, what made you think of that? What made you want to do that?
You know, it's crazy how that's taken off, and it was a simple thought. I mean, I'm not smart enough to really think. ask my wife. You know, it was the second day on the job, maybe. I mean, maybe late the first day or whatever. And I just, one of our managers, Jake Whitehead, I just said to him, I said, hey, go get a pair of scissors. Go get a frame. He had no idea. And I actually think it was kind of trial by error, like two or three different frames or things at first. I'm like, no, here's what I'm trying to do, man. And I said, just put them up. And really didn't think much of it, other than I knew that I wanted to win a championship. And I knew that, and I was interim. Like, I made a year, 2 years. And, you know, no one really was, you know, really going to give me the time to do it. You know, that was the thought process, like, go find the next coach. And if you're going to do something, I'm like, come on, man, you get one shot. I was one of, you know, 300 and some Division I head coaches, at least at that moment. So that was the kind of the mindset. I have a creative mind, probably too creative at times, and a lot of stuff doesn't stick to the wall, but this quite literally stuck to the wall, and it just stayed up there for 6 years. And about 3 years ago, maybe, we talked about it a little bit. I would say my first few teams, some of the guys probably didn't even really realize they were up there. And it was just something that was more symbolic. And the way our locker room is, you don't necessarily notice them. And as the years got, you know, better and better, I think, you know, the reality started setting in. And right when we were leaving to the bus, I ran upstairs because no one had taken them off the wall. How about that? Like, we almost didn't break them. like, how about that? How great would have that been? I'd be like, hey, guys, I'll be back in 5 hours to cut down these nets, because I'm not waiting 6 years and not five more hours. But I ran up there and grabbed them, put them in my bag. And then in our conference room, again, I didn't say anything to anybody, but kind of stuck it behind the exit sign of our film room at the hotel. And one of our guys took them down on the way to the game. And then the rest was kind of, you guys saw it play out. It was special, and it kind of worked out. It was something that was always a driving force.
Are you putting them back in the frame now?
It's a great question. Two things. I don't know where the frame is, which I had the whole night. And then now it's like, I'm like, hey, where's the frame? You know, because it started like people, like that night, it was on ESPN and, you know, it was on SportsCenter or whatever. And I was like, where's that frame? And it was in the conference room. And right now, we're trying to locate the frame. Now we have the scissors. So
okay,
now we're going to figure it out. We'll figure out the next step of it.
Well, you wanted to get a bigger frame, put the net in with the scissors, and, you know, have a whole plaque thing. Yeah. See,
this
is a blessing.
Yeah. Some entrepreneurial SIUE fans saw it starting to take off on ESPN and said, we'll take that frame just eBay value down
somebody
the line.
Somebody has stolen it, Brian.
You know what? Hey, NIL now, whatever we can do, whatever we can do now, we're selling picture. You know what? Here's what I'm going to say. Every day I changed that a frame for 6 years. So I have, my math isn't good enough, but 6 times 365, I have that many frames. So
there you go.
You know, for the E, let's start selling them.
I think it's a great idea now. Get the marketing department on it. Last thing for you, Brian. I mean, you don't know who you're going to play now. So how do you get ready for a game in which you don't know the opponent?
Yeah, I was just at breakfast with my wife, and I said that same thing to her. I was like, you know, the one thing I don't do well with is just having too many ideas, as you can see with the picture frame. But
it's a great idea, though. It's a really great idea.
That was one. Trust me, those last 6 years, I had
a home run, though.
We won't talk about that. The biggest thing with our team and where I've learned as a coach, you know, you got to focus on your team. Like, what makes your team better? And, you know, this week we have an opportunity just to get better. You know, we're going to enjoy it. I want them to enjoy it. We're going to have a team meeting today. We're off. We'll give them a couple days off just because it's been a tough end of the season schedule. But these are guys that want to go out there and play. And, we haven't been on the court as champions yet, right? Like, we were champions, and then we haven't worked out together as OVC champions. So there'll be a level of excitement to get back in the gym the next couple of days. And then we'll have some fun with the bracketology, right? I mean, you never know if you're in Dayton. You don't know if you're going. Like, we're in the tournament. I know that. And you can kind of anticipate some teams. So maybe as a staff, we'll do that. But we're going to go get better as a team, and we'll figure it out.
Where's the watch party going to be?
I think what they're going to do, our athletic director, Andrew Gavin, hit me last night. And he was like, hey, my vision was always, hey, I just want it in my living room. We have a family atmosphere, you know, that kind of family style. But this thing's kind of taken off with our community, and we need to include the community. We just haven't. Well, my family room isn't big enough for the community. if you remember, we're I'm not the Lakers coach, so I don't have family room. So I think we're going to do it here at First Community and make a big deal out of it. And we want everyone to be part of it. Like, this is historic. So let's all remember where we were and be part of it together when we find out when and where SIUE plays in the NCAA tournament for the first time.
Well, Coach Barone, we could not be more excited for you. I think of everybody that graduated from my high school, the highest percentage of people went to SIUE. So there are a lot of people from Granite City who went to that school, and I know they are excited for you. We are happy for you, too, and we're going to be watching, and best of luck to you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Come on. Thanks for having me on. This is awesome. So I appreciate it. Let's just all have fun with this together. It'll be a good run.
Yes, it will. Brian Barone, head coach at SIUE, with us here on the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Blueberry Hill.
314 Day is this week, March 14th, also known as Pi Day, also known as my birthday. Feel free to...
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Purchase whatever you want from me.
But we are trying to find the most St. Louis-y of all of you.
So, I didn't know that your birthday was 314 day.
Why would
surprised
you know that?
I'm surprised I never did. Well, because that's a, you know, it's a very St. Louis birthday, and you're, you know, people call you Mr. St. Louis, so I'm surprised that that was
connection. I don't think anybody has ever said that about me.
Yeah. They call you Mr. Granite City.
No, what they usually do is, you grew up here? Yeah. No. 314 day. 314 day is coming up. We need to know from you why you are the most St. Louis person. So the best way to do it, Matt, is it text? Is it Twitter?
I think texting 314-436-7900 or leaving a voice message on the Odyssey app explaining why you are the most St. Louis, St. Louisan.
That's right.
So this is when we're looking for most St. Louis. It's not like let's make a bracket like you guys did with, you know, the restaurants and stuff. It's not like let's make a bracket of 64 prominent St. Louisans and see who wins.
No, now
it's like we're just looking for an everyman St. Louisan. Yeah, we're not necessarily talking about like Stan Musial or something.
Yeah. Why do you deserve to be called the most St. Louis?
Got it.
Right.
Well,
so,
the first line on your resume is born on 314 day. That's going to be a decent number of people, but not a lot. You know what? 1/365th. That's like 0.25%.
So 314 day is Friday, and you need to get your submission in to us. By the way, we should let you know that if you win, you don't get anything for it. We are a show of no real prizes.
So I will say,
unless we give away tickets, which we do give away a lot of concert tickets and game tickets.
But when we give away tickets, it's normally just like be the lucky caller.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I feel like we should give away the tickets and tie that more to contests and things.
You need to talk to the legal department.
We do those separately. We should do them together. They should be one thing.
I don't think you're wrong.
Because people like to be compensated for their efforts, and we're asking for work here. We're asking for labor.
You need to run that by our blood-sucking attorneys.
I'm going to.
Here at Odyssey. That's Nate Gatter in for Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. We have coming in studio next, the Old Bakery Beer Company in Alton. You've probably heard of it. It's a really cool place. Well, they are celebrating their 10th year of organic brews, food, and local collaborations. We've got Lauren Patton from Old Bakery Beer Company coming in next on KMOX. Hey, 10 years. You know what else happens on Friday? It's not just 314 day, St. Louis day. It's not Pi Day. It's not just my birthday, but it also is. It's also my birthday, Matt. Okay. But it is the 10th anniversary of the opening of Old Bakery Beer Company in Alton, Illinois. And joining us here in studio is Lauren Patton, who is the co-founder of the Old Bakery Beer Company. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing okay. Friday, what happens on Friday? This is a big deal. It's 10 years.
So on Friday, we're just gonna, you know, celebrate our 10th anniversary. And we don't have huge plans for Friday. We're just gonna, you know, be a little chill about it this week and then celebrate it later this month. But we are this Friday releasing our 10th anniversary beer, which is a bourbon barrel-aged imperial stout coming in at 10% alcohol. And then we've got some glassware and commemorative stuff coming out, but...
They don't want to do too much on Friday because they know it's your birthday and they want to be respectful.
I think that's very nice.
That's actually why she picked March 14th 10 years ago, is to celebrate your 16th birthday.
Oh.
She was very excited about that. And,
thank you, Lauren.
And that's why they went for it.
You're
welcome. So, really Lauren, nice. You guys are now 10 years in, over 2.5 million pints in. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about the real, even if it won't be technically the anniversary, the real celebration on March 23rd, the Buzzed Beer Festival, 10th annual. Is this going to be, I mean, obviously it's been an annual thing. People are somewhat familiar with it. Is this going to be an especially big version?
No.
Just going to be great like always. I love the how honest she's been. No. You're like, is March 14th going to be crazy?
Yeah,
she's
really.
Like, it'll be good. I mean, it's a fun day. I'm like, is this one going to be huge?
I don't make a big deal about my birthday. Why? I don't care.
You know, we're just really worried about overshadowing your birthday this March. And
Man,
so we want
really
to
nice.
just, you know, We want to acknowledge ours, but not take it too far.
So what is the Buzzed Beer Festival?
So the Buzzed Beer Festival
on March 23rd.
On March 23rd. It is our annual beer festival. It's a little different than your traditional beer festival for a couple of reasons. One, we have a larger variety of different types of beverages. So it's mead makers, cider makers, beer makers, distillers, and non-alcoholic beverage producers. So all different sorts of beverages to taste. But it's the Buzz Beer Festival specifically because we use it as a fundraiser for our local Piasaw Palisades Sierra Club. And in doing so, we decided to kind of bring attention to the importance of insect pollinators. So we ask every brewery to bring a beer or beverage that has at least one insect pollinated ingredient included in it.
Oh, you know, I really like that they're, you know, it's like we want to focus on basically raising awareness for this, because I feel like a lot of times when people say they're raising awareness for something, they then say something that's really like everyone's aware of. They just mean we're like raising money for it, which is good. Like, no, it's a good thing to say we're raising money to, like,
I'm raising
help
money
with
for
homelessness
my birthday
or like food insecurity or whatever. But like, everybody's aware of homelessness being something that happens and food insecurity. I don't think a lot of people are aware of the importance of pollinators. Maybe they are broadly. Save the Bees has gathered some momentum in the zeitgeist. But I think that is a real, that's genuine raising awareness as opposed to just raising money.
Yeah. Save the Bees.
Yeah.
I remember you probably don't remember this. There, the old Kansas City Royals manager, Ned Yost, it was during spring training, and there was a beehive that had formed in the dugout. And this exterminator came out and was about to get rid of them. And Ned was like, absolutely not. We need them. We need the bees to pollinate our food, so let's not kill all the bees.
So what do they do instead? Like some kind of like humanitarian?
A beekeeper showed up and took them away.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then they used them to make some old bakery beer company beer.
Yeah, we still use those same bees today.
The exact same bees.
Rescued them from the Kansas City Royals dugout. It's like a rescue dog. We have rescue bees that brew our beer.
Well, I think do you name the bees?
It's better not to.
Yeah, you don't want any of them to feel left out.
That's exactly why.
But
I mean, you guys have been doing this for a while, though, and raising money through these buzz festivals, right? I mean, you've raised quite a bit of money, haven't you?
We have. Yeah, we have been working with Sierra Club on this event since it started. We haven't had a full 10 years of the event with some weird pandemic years in there.
Yeah,
but
makes sense.
We've been working with them on it, and so they get, the proceeds from the event every year, and we love giving back to them. And one thing I found interesting every year is that we, you know, automatically think of honeybees and things like that, bumblebees, about pollinators. But as I've looked up the different pollinators for the ingredients being included, it's a lot of more flies, various types of flies and wasps and native bees, and a lot more than just, like, the honeybees you think about.
Are you telling me I have to save the flies
Save the wasps.
Oh. This is going to be a tougher sell. I think people are on board with save the bees. I don't know if we're on board with save the wasps.
I know we had you come here to talk about beer, but what's with these wasps? I didn't think we needed wasps.
We do. We need wasps, yeah.
What do they do?
They pollinate.
Wasps pollinate? Yeah.
I feel like everybody just says, like, the bees are the good ones. That's why we kind of like them. But, like, the other ones just sting us for no reason. But it turns out
they're aggressive.
Actually useful, too.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of good to know, I guess. Something we get in exchange for the stings.
So, you know, we're looking out for, you know, honeybees are the ones that get shipped around, you know, to pollinate fields and things like that. But we've got lots of native pollinators we need to look out for, too.
How did Old Bakery get into that? Into really being, you know, you know a lot about bees and pollination. Like, what led to it?
So we're a certified organic craft brewery. Sustainability is, you know, kind of very important to our mission. So I think it all just kind of goes hand in hand. You know, we feel like one of the main reasons to be certified organic really is looking out for biodiversity and in the insect kingdom and otherwise. So I think it just all goes well together.
How has the, and I'll admit that I don't go to Alton a lot, and I was just past several months ago. I was on the way to a funeral, and I saw it. I saw it right there, right downtown. I thought, oh, what is this place? I feel like I've heard of it, but there it is. How has the facility, you know, your brewery expanded over the years?
So we have a very large facility down there. We've got about 18,000 square feet, and we fill it with our brewery. We have a private event space. We have a very large dining room, and we keep it full with events and programming, private events, markets, anything going on all the time.
But you could pop by whenever you want. You don't have to have a private event.
Exactly. Yeah, we're open for lunch and dinner every day but Monday. We just started doing Saturday and Sunday brunch, so you can come see us all the time.
I heard you're a really great post-funeral spot. Is that true?
We are. Yeah, I've heard that too.
Why is that? You need a drink?
Well, it's like they say, after the Super Bowl, the losing team party's harder. You know, it's like it's sometimes you need a drink.
I don't think that's... Yeah, that's exactly it.
It might be that. I think it's also that we're very easily able to accommodate large groups. We have a large space, so, you know, let us know and bring in, you know, 25 of your closest friends after the next funeral you attend.
That probably is it.
That's it.
You know, on a lighter note, you guys brought in some cans. You have the most colorful beer cans that I've ever seen and the most creative designed cans that I've ever seen. Was that a part of sort of like the initial business plan? We want to be like fun and unique and a little bit quirky with our cans, or has that happened over time?
So a little bit of both. We want to be fun and unique and stuff, of course. But at first, our cans were a little bit more subtle, and we were working with like a graphic designer in Central Illinois. But over time, my sister-in-law, Lauren, who works at the brewery, she's taken over our graphic design, really all the creative endeavors at the brewery. She does all of our murals and all of that. So as she really... I think it was only a year or two in that she started taking over doing all of the designs, and she just does a really great job and loves color, and you can see it reflected in our cans.
I'm very excited about this blueberry because there's one other blueberry beer I know of, and I can't remember what it's called. I think it's Dogfish or something. So how do you decide, like who is in charge of figuring out the flavors, of deciding what route you want to go?
So we always, it's kind of a long process because especially for beers that we're going to send into distribution, we usually start in August kind of planning the schedule for the next year, because then we have to, you know, make all the label designs. We have to get them approved by our organic certifier. We have to get them approved by the TTB. We have to get them approved by Missouri liquor control. And all of it just takes good time, you know, get them set up with our distributor. So we meet every, you know, August, September, to kind of just have those discussions with myself and our brewers, and Lauren will meet with us. And, you know, if anyone else decides to join us with the meeting, that's cool. But that's kind of our core group to just discuss, you know, what's selling well in the brewery, what's selling well in distribution, what we just think seems fun, what the trends are. Just kind of narrow it down from there.
Do you have any beers? Has it ever happened that you've had one that really hasn't been selling that well, but you like have developed an emotional attachment to it, and you're like, we got to stick with that. Like, we got to just stand by that guy, even if he's not selling the way we think he should.
Yeah, so kind of. You know, we have our Porter is one of our like most well-reviewed beers, like in the actual like core craft beer community. It's one of our most like well-respected beers, but it used to be a year-round beer that we would have in cans and draft, you know, in distribution all year round. And we gave it a good, you know, 5-year trial. And at some point we were just like, this doesn't make sense to have year round anymore. So like we have it at the brewery still, and it's like people still come in just to get that. But we've had to like kind of dial it in a little bit, rein it in a little bit, much to like its core group of fans' disappointment, but it just wasn't pulling its weight, you know?
Have you noticed how or if habits have changed by people in the last 10 years? Because we're hearing and seeing a lot of stories that younger people are not drinking as much as they did 10, 15 years ago. So how have you noticed their tastes change over that time?
We just generally have seen, you know, we have a full restaurant. So we have cocktails and wine and all of that at the restaurant as well. As well as a very extensive list of non-alcoholic beverages. And so over the last maybe 3-4 years especially, we definitely have seen a little bit of a shift starting to some of the alternative choices and not just always the beer. But we try to just make sure we're really excelling at those offerings too. With beer in particular, we haven't seen a huge shift, but I think to some extent we've also just like done what we wanted to anyway. And being organic comes with some restrictions on like the type of beers that we can brew, partly maybe majority with hop availability, because, you know, one of the trendiest kind of styles of beer lately has been these hazy IPAs and the really trendy hop varieties, new experimental stuff. They're just not available to us. So we have never really been able to, like, play that trend game with beer anyway. So we brew what we like. We brew things that are approachable and will please a lot of different palates and just kind of put it all out there.
So the Buzzed Beer Festival is March 23rd. It's a Sunday. It starts at 1 o'clock. It goes until 5. So tickets are $35 a person to get in. What does that get you?
Yep. Tickets are $35. You get a really nice commemorative glass for our 10th anniversary, and you get samples from over 50 different beverages that day, again, with a really wide selection. We've got live music from Lofty's Comet, and you can know that you will be giving back to help the bees.
Love the bees and the wasps.
And the flies.
And the flies.
Don't forget the flies.
I'm not going. I don't know about these flies. I thought they just land and poop, don't they? And they go and do other.
I don't think it's those kind of flies. It's like hover flies.
Like fruit flies or something?
No? I don't think
What's
so.
What's a hover fly?
I don't know what that
I'm
is.
I'm not sure.
Okay, well.
We've exhausted the pollinator knowledge.
I need you to get back to.
I didn't think we could, but we've
gotten
hit the bottom
to the cap of the knowledge.
That's it. Right. The Old Bakery Beer Company celebrating 10 years. The birthday is on Friday, and then the 23rd is the Buzzed Beer Festival. Starts at 1 o'clock. It is a Sunday, $35. If you want tickets, oldbakerybeer.com is the website. Lauren Patton, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.
It is Nate Gatter and Chris Ranji on KMOX. Text message to 314-436-7900 says, and this is from Big Blonde Dan, our guy, and he says, is the 104.1 signal stronger than the 98.7 signal that you use now? The answer is yes. Yes, it is. 104.1 is a lot more reliable. 98.7 is on a thing called a translator, which isn't a full frequency, but the reason we're talking about it now is KMOX is expanding 2 weeks from today. So March 24th, ahead of opening day, we will be simulcasting on 104.1 FM. And FM sounds great. So 104.1 FM, of course, here on 1120, and we have the free Odyssey app. But we are very excited to make that announcement today. Also,
I should maybe to answer that question, I should maybe have a better source, since I, you know, work here than Wikipedia. But according to Wikipedia, WHHL, which is 104.1, is 50,000 watts also, which is actually even stronger than I would have expected. So yes, dramatically stronger.
Yeah, that's a great signal. It's going to be an awesome option. It is great for the station. It's great for St. Louis. So we are looking forward to expanding 2 weeks from today. Also, Kegs and Eggs is coming back on opening day. So we will expand to 104.1, and a few days later, we're going to have Kegs and Eggs on opening day, March 27th. But there are two events now. We've expanded the Kegs and Eggs day, too. There are two things. First of all, in the morning, starting at 8 o'clock, it goes until 10:30, is the First Pitch Breakfast, which is celebrating the 1985 National League Championship team. Vince Coleman is going to be there telling stories off the air. This is not stuff you're going to get by listening to the station. You're going to have to go to this thing. Tom Ackerman is hosting along with Vince. So that's for 2.5 hours starting at 8 o'clock. You can buy tables for this. So tables for 2, 4, 5, 6, or 8. Go to the website kmox.com/events and purchase your table. It's great for, you know, a group of friends or if you have clients or whatever. You're going to want to do this. It'll be very cool. They're going to tell stories about that 85 team, which has a huge place in my heart because I grew up with that team, and it was an exciting year. So that is the First Pitch Breakfast. Then, separate event is our annual Kegs and Eggs celebration. That'll get started at 11 o'clock. It'll go until 2. Both of these events are at Cardinals Nation inside Ballpark Village, so we're changing venue. Usually we're out on the street. This time we're going to be inside, temperature controlled. The space is a little smaller than being outside on the street, so you're going to want to get your tickets, and they are going quickly. They're going very quickly for Kegs and Eggs, and that will start at 11 o'clock. It goes until 2. There's food for both of these. Food, beverages, mimosas, Budweiser, all the stuff. So you are going to want to get involved. KMOX.com KMOX.com/events. These are two separate ticketed events. KMOX.com/events. Hope to see you there. Thanks, Nate Gatter, for hanging out with me today.
Thanks, Chris Ranji. They have to pay me to do it.
Oh, Missouri Valley Conference Championship. You called that for Westwood One.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun. It was. Let's get it in there.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to make sure
it was a good
knew.
Game. It was cool. It was my first time doing a national game that was here in St. Louis, so that was a cool moment for
this
me.
This guy is number one. Westwood One, college football, college basketball. He's doing it. You're the best.
It's going to be a fun, busy month. We, you know, tune in men's, women's tournaments on Westwood One starting next Tuesday night. I'll be in Dayton with King McClure doing maybe the SIUE Cougars next Tuesday, Wednesday night. So yeah. Tune in.
That's Nate Gatter. I'm Chris Ranji. The Dave Glover Show is next on KMOX.